Hello, everyone. My name is Maggie Wilkins, and I am the State Field Coordinator at the League of Education Voters. Thanks for joining us today. This is the third webinar in our series of lunchtime webinars titled You're Going to College. Our goal is to bring you succinct info sessions at the lunch hour on some of LEV's top education priorities. We've also worked to create these webinars in a fashion that helps build a base of knowledge for advocacy. Each topic we've selected includes three presentations. The first of the three in each series will engage advocates on a personal level. We're hoping to provide some tangible skills for you and your young person to help navigate the public school system. The second presentation in the series helps put context to the issue. Many of the barriers we face in the schools as individuals are actually quite common to parents, guardians, and families. Through sharing and building relationships, we help empower ourselves to keep advocating. The third webinar in this series will bring you a bright spot or an example of best practices. In advocacy and social change, it's important to share your vision that outlines how you think schools should be and not merely what we believe is unjust. The format's pretty simple. We're going to dive right into a presentation from one of our guests. We'll wrap up a few minutes early so that our presenter can answer questions from the audience. You'll notice that we have a chat function on the left side of the webinar. This is a space for you to pose questions to the presenter. Please remember to be respectful, as all this information is public and will be archived on our website for later access. Lastly, visit our webpage at www.educationvoters.org in order to view the full list of past and future webinars. Today we'll hear a presentation from Dawn Carver of the Spokane Area Workforce Development Council, and she'll present on meeting the growing need for skilled workers in Washington State. Welcome, Dawn. Please take it away.
Hello, welcome, and thank you, Maggie. As Maggie mentioned, my name is Dawn Carver. I'm with the Spokane Area Workforce Development Council, and I'm the Chief Operations Officer. Today I'm going to provide you with information about our organization, what we do, our services, why we do what we do, and a little labor market presentation. I feel a little bad because Maggie mentioned that we were supposed to be the bright spot, and youth employment is not exactly the brightest of spots, so I'll do my best to try to point out some things that are really working well. Before I talk about the labor market or who we are, I wanted to let you know why we do what we do. Those of us with a job know it's much more than a paycheck. It provides us with a sense of who we are, social network, and hopefully financial stability. Last year, over 36,000 people walked through our doors in need of help finding a job. That's 36,000 people for Spokane County. That could be a first job, a better job, or for some, any job. As I'll talk about in a few minutes, many of those seeking our services are under the age of 25. Many have never had a job. More startling, in many cases, often they live in households where no one at all works. Sometimes they don't have a single role model in their life that has a full-time job, let alone a role model that has a career and loves it. Like those of you in education, we do what we do to help people realize that they have more potential than they think they have. We believe in the power of employment, and we absolutely love to help people realize the many benefits of having a job and hopefully to get started on a career path. I'm going to switch slides here. Okay, now that you know why we do what we do, I'll tell you a little bit about who we are. I wasn't sure if everyone on the line is familiar with a Workforce Development Council, so I wanted to give you an overview. We have 12 Workforce Development Councils in the state, as you can see on the map. Workforce Development Councils are responsible for bringing together business, government, labor, education, community service organizations, and economic development to create a workforce that meets the need of our region. We do that by offering services for both job seekers and businesses, and that includes students on the job seeker side. And we do that in partnership with a variety of agencies. Largely, in Spokane, we accomplish this work by being a grant-making agency to nonprofit organizations that operate programs on our behalf. By way of example, we currently have contracts with New ESD 101, Goodwill, Employment Security Department, and Career Path Services. Among our best-known services are WorkSource Spokane and the Next Generation Zone. WorkSource is our Adult Employment Service Center, and the Next Gen Zone is our Youth Career and Education Center. I'm going to spend most of my time today talking about the youth service side of the house, but I want to give you a quick overview of the adult service side of the house so you know what all we do. Last year, we saw about 34,000 adults through WorkSource Spokane who were seeking assistance with career pathway development, accessing labor market information, returning to school, or finding a job. On the youth side of the house, our services are delivered through the Next Generation Zone, which again is our Youth Employment and Career Center, Career and Education Center. It was started in 2007, and we created it because we wanted young workers in Spokane County to have one place they could visit for career information. We looked at our target audience, which is about 16 to 21-year-olds, and we knew, as I'm sure that you know, they're not super likely to visit multiple locations, especially for career-related services. So the Workforce Development Council in about 2007 rented office space, and we opened it up to partner organizations. Since opening our doors, we've offered services to about 10,000 youths in Spokane County, and we currently offer space to Workforce Investment Act service providers, nonprofit organizations like Goodwill Industries, New ESD 101 on the education side of the house, community colleges of Spokane, Youth Build, and we've had mentoring programs as well. Our big announcement for this month is that in December, Job Corps is going to be moving into the Next Gen Zone, which will mean for us all of our office space will be full. We're absolutely excited to have a great employment center for our young folks. Together, all these agencies work to provide the career and education services to youth. Our primary services include assistance with completing a high school diploma or GED, although, of course, we prefer high school completion when possible, enrolling in college, basic training on job search assistance, how to get and keep a job, as well as the development of critical thinking skills and paid internships. We also teach youth how to research the labor market in hopes that they'll identify a career pathway that's likely to be in demand. And we work really closely with the high schools to try to provide them information about careers in general, labor market, that kind of thing. We work with the career counselors. We also have staff, the Next Gen Zone staff, on as many advisory boards as we can, truancy boards, CTE advisory boards, that kind of thing. We also send staff out to high schools to provide career readiness workshops, connect students to internships when possible, and provide national career readiness certificate testing, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. According to schools that utilize us the most, one of the most important services we can provide for educators is a connection to the business community as well as labor market information. Before I talk about the connection to employers, I want to give you a quick labor market overview so you know the world that our young folks are attempting to navigate. This slide shows the unemployment rate county by county in Washington State. It's as of August 2013. As you can see, much of the state is at or above a 7% unemployment rate. The impact this has had on our young folks is absolutely astonishing. As you can see from this slide, the increase in unemployment during the Great Recession went from a low for our young job seekers, 16 to 19, at about 17% unemployment, to a high of 46% unemployment for our young males. So you can see the 16 to 19-year-olds had a 46% unemployment rate in 2010. Unfortunately, we haven't seen a lot of change in this area. Youth in general, 16 to 24, have about a 25% unemployment rate currently. That's generally speaking, it is often better or worse depending on demographics. We'll get into that in the next slide. One of the reasons for the high unemployment rate is, of course, because adult job seekers were forced to take the lower wage jobs typically reserved for youth, including retail, hospitality. Unfortunately, at the same time, youth were also experiencing another setback due to technology, improvements in technology in the business community. Examples of that, the self-scan checkout machine at the grocery store and online shopping. So we had adults taking youth jobs. We also had technology removing job opportunities, well, positions. Businesses were able during the Great Recession to completely eliminate a number of positions. So for many of our young adults, they're without a job. They often would experience work in the summers, typically when most of us had a job. However, we've moved from a time where we had 50% of our young folks working in the summer to now where only 29% can expect to have a job. And this is a pretty important time, as you know, for a young person. They're developing an understanding of what the word boss means, why it's critical to show up to work on time, how to provide good customer service, and how to work in a team. There's many other statistics that I could share, but I pulled two that stand out. Among higher-income Caucasian families, 40% of teens can expect to participate in a summer job, while on the other end of the spectrum, only 9% of teens from low-income African-American families can expect the same. The statistics get worse and worse when looking at inner-city youth, youth who've dropped out of high school, or youth that have a disability. Among the many downsides of the situation, according to a recent survey conducted among employers in Washington State, the number one factor they reported looking for in a new employee is previous work experience. Obviously, our youth cannot get work experience if they can't get a job, and they can't get a job without work experience. So what do? In Spokane, we're trying to combat the situation by doing absolutely everything we can do to think of to connect our young people to positive employment opportunities. One point, we even partnered with the city of Spokane to have the mayor declare a Hire a Youth Month to try to get businesses interested in hiring more young folks. There's some cases, though, that a young person is just not successful in finding a job. In those cases, we've had to get pretty creative to ensure they leave high school with a positive experience or at least a few certificates that they can put on their resume to transition into the world of work. As you may have imagined, and I'm assuming that you're guessing this, internships and volunteer experiences have become increasingly important. This is primarily due, of course, to the high competition for jobs that we just talked about. At the Next Generation Zone at Spokane WDC, we now consider paid work experiences and connections internships as our most important services for young folks. Annually, we can connect as many as about 400 young adults to internships, but that depends on funding. That's at the height of our funding, and of course, we've gone down in the last 2 years. This can range from paying for a young person's wages, so we call it a paid work experience. We'll actually pay a young person's wages while they work at a business, or an unpaid internship that the student is getting educational credit for. Our Next Gen Zone staff work directly with youth and with employers to help broker the relationship. And once the connection's made, the staff remain available to help provide any additional assistance as needed. We need the experience to be positive for both the employer and the young person. For the young person, of course, it's a shaping time for them. We'd really like their first job experience to be a positive one. And for employers, of course, we want them to continue to come back and utilize our services and have a positive experience with the young person, so they'll be more likely to hire more young adults. About a year ago, a group of agencies and a business partner created an online system in Spokane that helps make the employer-young person match even easier. The site's called Access to Experience. It's live, and you can go online and check it out if you like. It's used by employers to post internship opportunities and career counselors to view the internship opportunities and make the connection between the employer and the student. And I've heard there's similar sites around the state, and I'm hoping those of you in education are familiar with those. We can also use the site to post volunteer experiences, which of course have become increasingly important. They're often the only work experience a young person might be able to obtain. During that, we help a young person find a volunteer experience, as well as figure out how to make the experience as valuable as possible so they can put the skills down on a resume and then use that to get a job. We're also utilizing the National Career Readiness Certificate, and I'm hoping that many of you have heard of it, but if not, I'm going to try to give an overview very quickly. The NCRC is a way to demonstrate that a person has employment skills that are desired by an employer. It's a certificate that was created by ACT, which, of course, is the college-ready assessment company. Most of us have taken that assessment. After developing the college-ready assessment, ACT created a career readiness assessment because they realized they were missing half the equation. So they created the National Career Readiness Certificate, which is awarded after you complete 3 tests successfully. The tests are applied mathematics, locating information, and reading for information. Basically, that is reading, writing, and critical thinking. ACTs invest a lot of time and money into the assessments, and they can now say that these are the 3 skills, reading, writing, critical thinking, needed in almost every job in America. ACP also has a website that shows about 20,000 occupations and their associated NCRC skill levels. So what we're doing is we're helping kids obtain the National Career Readiness Assessment and then going online to the ACT site and figuring out what skills they presently have and how they align with occupations. What we found in most cases, the kids were not aware that they had skills that they could already use on the job. And since they have the certificate, they can present it to an employer, and even though they have no work experience, they can explain that they do have the skills, and here's the assessment to prove it. There's a new NCRC initiative underway. It's a statewide initiative. Hopefully, you'll all be hearing about it very soon. It's brand new. The plan is to roll the NCRC out statewide, but it's so new that I don't even have any other information that I can share with you. I strongly believe in the tool. We've had a lot of success with it at the Next Generation Zone, and I'm happy to provide you more information. I have my contact information on the next slide. So if you have any questions about the NCRC or anything else that we're doing in Spokane, feel free to get a hold of me. That's actually it for my prepared presentation. I'm happy to open it up for questions.
Great. Thank you, Dawn. It looks like we had one question from a participant. To your knowledge, what has been done to develop career planning in schools and then also to provide instruction that helps lead to young people securing jobs?
Good question. And I would say that that's different school district by school district. We work very closely with the CTE directors in Spokane County. We work with them to provide labor market information to help develop new programs and align curriculum. So I think that's really school district by school district for the first part of the question. And can you please repeat the second part of the question?
Sure. To your knowledge, what has been done to provide instruction in schools that leads to securing jobs?
The most successful programs, I would say, of course, would be in the CTE departments, since they are aligned for a transition to employment. We've seen a lot of great work in the schools. We have a lot of really good partnerships. In terms of instruction, I've seen some schools that are using the National Career Readiness Curriculum, which directly aligns to jobs. Medical Lake School District is an example. They use the NCRC curriculum during the school year and then offer the assessments at the end of the year. So they're absolutely aligning what they're teaching in the classroom with skills desired by employers.
Great. And Dawn, could you again list the businesses and employers that Spokane School District has relationships with?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know which school district or which employer Spokane School District has relationships with. We work very closely with Spokane Public Schools, but I don't have the list handy, and I do know they work with a lot of employers. I think you'd have to contact Spokane Public Schools to get a hold of that list.
I had a question for you. As young people are coming into the Next Generation Zone, what do you see as some of the biggest barriers or biggest hurdles for youth employment besides the lack of available jobs?
That's a good one. I'm going to see if Heidi Peterson is on the line. She's the Next Generation Zone Program Manager, and she is also an employee of New ESD 101. If she's not on the line, I'll address the question. Heidi, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I think the one thing that we see the most is the soft skills. So it's really learning the skills that they need once they get into a position or to be able to, the customer service type of things that many of us learned in our first jobs. Because youth is becoming older and older in their first jobs, they're not gaining those foundational skills. So that's one of the main things besides just no experience.
And Maggie, if it's okay, I see a question by Charles that says, and I may have not correctly answered it a few moments ago, what actual business relationships exist between schools? Is that the same question that you were reading?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Charles, I want to make sure to address that. In terms of actual business relationships, I don't know the names of specific businesses necessarily across all the schools, but I can give you a few examples. The Access to Experience website that I talked about was started by a local firm here, a local business, and in conversation with them, they realized that we really have a need for a better connection between employers and schools. So they started an entire company to help support this website to make the business and student connection even easier. So it's a pretty good example of what our business community is doing to help us out.
John, do you know what that, how we could find that website online?
It's accesstoexperience.com, and it's the number 2, A-C-C-E-S-S, number 2, experience.com. And there's several of those around the state. They're not all called Access to Experience. That's our local version, but you can go on there and check that one out. And then there's many others. I've heard of some in, Yakima and Bellingham and Vancouver.
If listeners have any other questions, please feel free to send them in through the chat. Looks like we got another one. Petra asks, what efforts are included in your program that include entrepreneurship education in your efforts to promote employment readiness?
That is a very good question. We have many things underway. We're actually working, we started yesterday, working through a grant that's coming down from the Kauffman Foundation to create a 3-month program that's going to help students or job seekers also from the WorkSource Center on the adult side of the house learn the skills needed by entrepreneurs, the basic skills. That's going to be about a month-long course, and then we're going to move into how to write a business plan and then a direct connection with employers. That's just one of the examples of what's occurring, but I think it's probably the best example.
Looks like we have another question from Charlie. Who are the living wage, not retail, partners that Spokane Area Workforce Development Council works with?
Oh, my goodness. There's probably, I mean, the list is several hundred long. We serve about 1,500 businesses each year. We have many, many businesses that work with us on a daily basis. You know, Heidi might be able to give some good examples of where we've placed youth in internships, if that's what you're interested in. Heidi?
Sure. On some of the looking at living wage non-retail, we've done on the medical side, so in assisted living positions, helping youth who are interested in the healthcare field as an entry level, and then they're going on to nursing school, for that's one example, but they're able to gain living wage positions while they move on in their education. Another would be, we had some in computer and IT, and that is around actually, one of those has been a school district that has hired some of our youth out of a very good living wage to help with their computer systems. So, and again, those students went on to college in the IT field, but were able to work their way through college from positions that were internships that they were hired on.
We have great working relationships with manufacturing. We work with about very closely with about 20, 25 manufacturing companies. We work closely with, I can name examples. It looks like on the questions that you want to hear specific examples. We work with Triumph and Alltech and WEG staff, to name a few. We have partnerships in the medical industry, in the IT industry. A company in town called 72 and 14-4 are very, very engaged. Humanix is a staffing company, also very, very engaged. And all of these are employers are working differently to provide a connection. Some, as I mentioned, one actually created a website to connect employers to students. Some are opening their doors for internships. Others helped us promote Hire a Youth Month, and they're going to mayors and city council trying to get initiatives started. Others are promoting workforce development through chambers and other groups. There's just a variety of ways that employers have partnered to make this successful.
Thank you, Don. Are there other questions? Well, in that case, we want to thank you, Don and Heidi, for joining us today. That was an excellent presentation. Don't forget, if you missed parts of this presentation or you'd like to download the slides that you've seen today, they're available on our website at educationvoters.org. And our next lunchtime webinar will be held on November 21st at 12:30. To register for this webinar, visit our website or look for an email from us coming your way soon. So thank you, Don. Thank you, Heidi. And if you have follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to contact me or Don Carver. Her contact information is here on the slide. Thank you all, and goodbye.